Support for KNKX Studio Sessions comes from OB Credit Union, the original credit union of the Olympia Brewery, home to the Olympia Rainier Pabst Blue Ribbon and Washington State credit cards, featuring the Pick Your Card, Pick Your Program option. Learn more at obee.com/beer.
Please welcome that mighty engine of rhythm, Pearl Django. 25 years. Yeah. Pearl Django on 88.5 KNKX. David Lang, accordion. Michael Gray, violin on guitars. Tim Lurch and Jim Char, and bassist Rick Leprechaun. Rick Lepinen. We got a special studio session because we've asked our listeners to send in some questions for you. And, you know, actually, before getting what was the name of the tune you just played?
Well, that one was a Stockolo Rosenberg number, and it's called Four Sephora. Four, F-O-R, Sephora. And Sephora is his daughter, I believe.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Well, are you ready to do some questions? We've got questions from listeners.
Hey, you bet.
We've all won admission to Jazz Alley to catch your show tonight or tomorrow. Let's do the first one from Miriam Bulmer from Mercer Island. Says, have you ever tried playing a Pearl Jam song, gypsy jazz style? And that'll be for Tim.
Yep. You know, I thought about that this idea of playing pop songs in a jazz way. Of course, this is not a new one. It's always happened. I mean, you listen to a Django Reinhardt song and there's Dinah on there, or a sweet Georgia Brown. I mean, yeah. It's all pop songs.
Jazz is always drawn from pop.
So I thought about it, you know, and we had a gig once, or we did a trio where we were playing downtown somewhere and it was a theme or something. And someone said, could you play some Northwestern grunge stuff? And we kind of avoided it, and I played. There's this one song, not a Pearl Jam song, but one by Nirvana that's got a very nice melody and actually works kind of neat in our style. But I thought about Pearl Jam, and I couldn't really think, you know, maybe Jeremy spoke in class today, you know, like. But it wouldn't work. So something. There's something.
That's a short answer.
Apparently, yeah. Like Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden would work great as a jazz shoop shoop kind of tune. I couldn't really find a Pearl Jam tune that would really work. But maybe there's a young person out there who thinks that I'm full of nonsense, and they're going to do a whole record of Pearl Jam tunes done gypsy style. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Here's another one from Susan, and this, I guess, would be for all the guys. Susan from Olympia says, I was 22 when I discovered Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli, and that was 50 years ago. How old were each of you, and how long ago, and how? I'll add, and how, in many things.
We'll start with our fabulous accordion player.
Well, how many years are we supposed to go back?
When was the first time you remember hearing Django and or Stefan, or both? Together?
Probably about 25 years ago. Yeah, because I was recording, well, even before that, it was Quartet Deluxe. And so that goes even further back. So 20, maybe close to 30 years.
Michael Gray?
I wasn't born yet. I was still in the womb. And it was probably, I remember, it's when I was living in Alaska. It's probably 70s. And there was Stefan Grappelli recorded a tune with Paul Simon on one of Paul Simon's albums, and it was called Hobo's Blues. Oh. And at that time, I was playing like old time square dance fiddling, and I heard that, and I went out and started a fire and burnt my violin. But that's always stuck with me. And
didn't last as long as a viola.
No, or a cello, but. But so late 70s sometime.
Wow. That was it for me. And it was pure happenstance. It was sometime in the 70s in a record store, leafing through the records, and I came to an LP, and it had an old photo of the Hot Club group. And I just liked the looks of the photo. I'd never heard any of the names, and I got it and put it on, and I was hooked.
Yeah. It has that quality about it. Yeah. I mean, it's very addictive.
Tim?
Yeah. Let's see if I can get closer to that. I can remember exactly because I was, I must have been, it was 1975. I was a sophomore in high school. And so that would make me 16 or so, 17. And I recall I was a jazz guitar nut at the time, and I would read Joe Pass or various other people, Barney Kessel, Les Paul. They all talked about this mythical Django. And I hadn't heard it. And I remember I found a record in a record store. It was called The Quintet of the Hot Club of France, 1935 through 39.
I think that's the one that
and
I saw.
And it's got a picture of Django and Stefan on the front, and it had all the stuff that they you know, those early recordings. And I was blown away by it. I was listening to guys like Robert Johnson and Blind Blake, and scratchy records weren't foreign to me. So when I heard this kind of music on a scratchy record, and that kind of mid-range focused sound that they had, I just loved it. And at that time, there weren't any Django groups around. It was a kind of in a dormant phase. Stefan was playing, but there weren't any, you know, Pearl Djangos or hot clubs of every other town in the whole country then. And so I didn't really, other than a kind of listening to it very closely and enjoying it, ever think of playing in that style. I was more, you know, trying to play like Charlie Parker or something. Yeah. But, yeah, I remember that. And then I bought every other record I could find. Mm. And my favorite one, I think, as I listened to those records, there was a white record with a kind of slightly, just a little bit of color, maybe a sort of a impressionistic pencil drawing or something of Django from the late the 50s, like 52 or something, and he was playing electric guitar with little amp distortion, and I loved that. That was like, oh my God, that's more rock and roll than Eric Clapton, you know. He was really rocking. So anyway, that's my Django story.
Jim?
I kind of came to Django through his violin player Stefan Grappelli. I'm aging myself, but, you know, back in the 60s, I think it was either like Carol Burnett show or the Smothers Brothers or one of those kind of shows where there's this violin player. And I'm like, this guy is really good. It's like he was playing. I don't know what he was playing. The impression that I had was more like it sounded lyrical and it sounded happy and it just sounded so musical. And then that began my discovery of Django, and I heard about some guy who played with two fingers. And I'm like, okay, let's give him a listen to. And I'm still blown away when I listen to Django Reinhardt and the Hot Club of France. Just still blown away, amazing.
Okay. And finally, our bassist.
Finally, also I about the same time Tim started listening to Django, I did, even though I'm 10 years older. But I came to music later in life, and I had switched to bass already. But jazz guitar has always been my absolute favorite instrument. So in the early 70s, mid-70s, I really started listening seriously and would just pick up records by any jazz guitarist I could find who had any notoriety. And so it was a long time, but it wasn't until many years later that I started playing the music. This was joining Pearl Django was the first time I ever played any gypsy jazz.
Well, one more question, and we'll have some more music. And actually, this might be a nice lead into our next song. This one from Mark Backlund from Anacortes, and I guess this will be for Jim. If you could transport Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli through time to the present, and I'll add, and assuming that Django showed up on time, which of the songs in your catalog would you be most proud to play for them?
In our catalog, the Pearl Django catalog, there's one song that I just really fell in love with. It's like, you know, one of those songs that you put on repeat and you just keep looping. It becomes the soundtrack. And for weeks, that's what I listened to. And it was the Pearl Django version of the Django Reinhardt song, Melody Crepuscule, which means crepuscule means twilight, so twilight's love melody or something like that. And it was Michael Gray, before I even knew him, that he was the man playing the violin on that lovely melody. So Melody Crepuscule is the one we...
Are we going to hear that?
No. In true Pearl Django fashion, you know, we're not going to play that
Jim
one.
Jim Ward out.
You'll have to get the record.
What we are going to hear, though, we decided that, you know, we've been playing this tune that we're going to perform for a long, long time. And we have an album titled after it. And I don't think we've ever played it in the studio. And it just seems it'll hopefully evoke Paris for everybody. It's called Under Paris Skies. ¶¶
Pearl Django on KNKX. Pearl Django is at Jazz Alley this evening and tomorrow evening. And that was under Paris. You know, you're going to laugh at me. This is the first time I realized that was a waltz. Isn't that funny?
What's wrong with you?
Well, a lot of people would like to know that. Let's get back to questions that can actually be answered. This one from Camelia Aids of Seattle. And this is directed to David. Congratulations on your silver anniversary. I've been enjoying listening to you for the past 15 years and always wondered what's the story behind your name. Is it a tribute to Seattle's Pearl Jam and Paris's Django Reinhardt?
I'm just going to lie about it.
Oh, you're going to make up a good story?
No, there's a little bit of conjecture. But I asked Neil this question way back at the inception of the group.
Founding member, Neil Anderson.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I think it was just the three, just Neil and Dudley and Pope.
At the time, yeah.
Got together and were trying to figure out the name. And I'm imagining that Neil said that there was an article that described Django's tone as like a beautiful strand of pearls. Oh. And he probably mentioned that, but Pope Furman, the bass player at the time, his wife kind of ran with it and said, "Pearl, Pearl, Pearl Django," and the rest is kind of history. I think they kind of liked the joke of it and the tie into the Northwest, but originally it was kind of about the beauty of Django's tone.
It's interesting. I always thought it was just a straight pun on Pearl Jam, but it had a couple of...
So you believed his lie there.
It was a good one. the Italians say, even if it isn't true, it should be. Let's go to a question from Deborah from Seattle. And this is for you, Michael. 25 years is a long time. Does Pearl Django still have the original members?
No. And the original three-piece was Dudley, Neil, and Dudley Hill, Neil Anderson, and David Pope Furman. I joined them, I think it was, this is the 25th year I started playing with them in 1994, 5, my addition's not real good.
Was it Quartet Deluxe at that
time?
Well,
there was Quartet Deluxe, which was with Dudley and Neil and a bass player and a drummer, and I played with those guys for quite a while. And then Pearl Django came out with their first CD that I wasn't actually on. It's called Le Jazz Hot. And that was as a trio, but there were some live cuts. Paul Anastasio is a great violinist. He's on that for a couple of tunes, and but that's the basis of the group. And I joined right after Paul left, and I've been here ever since. So I guess I'm Grandpa, along with David, who was recorded
recording
everything.
Engineer from the start.
Yeah. From the recording engineer from the start.
Okay. Hope that answers your question, Deborah. And one last one, and this for bassist Rick Lepinen. Do you ever plan to make a CD that has vocal music included, which you actually
Well, and actually early on, and I'm not on that CD either, but Stephanie Porter did a tune with us on an early CD. And then a singer from Minnesota, Connie Evingson, came along admiring our music, and we played on 8 tracks of her CD. And then more recently, we've been working with the wonderful Gail Pettis, and we're looking along those lines. And even other recent gigs, singers will often sit in with us. They're not always lyrics to the Django tunes, but some do. Some of these standards that he did record, of course, have great lyrics. So we're always looking for that opportunity, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a Pearl Django and Gail Pettis CD in the future.
Well, I'd certainly look forward to it, and also looking forward to finally getting you guys to do Mr. Sandman with the Fender skirts. And I want to be the guy that gets to say, "Yes." It'll sell a million, I tell you. And you do. You have
It'll be a million seller, right?
What was that?
It'll be a million seller.
You'll make a million, I tell you.
There'll be a million of them in the cellar.
Yeah, that's right. But it's good to know. Better to have them than not need them. Well, you do have a new CD coming out shortly, right?
Yes, we do. It's a live, it's the first live production that Pearl, the first time that we've all agreed that this was okay to let it live, because we all hear, you know, our playing and we go, oh, that's not very good, we're not going to do that, but we like this one and it's really it's pretty exciting. We just got done with it. It should be out sometime in January.
Do you have a title for it yet?
Pearl Django Live. It's very provocative.
What else? Okay, we'll certainly look forward to that. One more tune before we go out, guys?
You bet. We're going to do a tune from our guitarist, Tim Lurch, and this one's called, this is a tribute to Dudley Hill, actually.
Wonderful.
And it's called Floyd Hoyt Rides Again. Thank you.